Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Gamertag Radio. This is your host, Danny. Paris is out for this week. We've been super busy right now. But we have a couple of things that we're going to be talking about on this episode of Gamertag Radio. So a couple of reviews. Three games, actually, we're going to be reviewing. One is Gato Roboto, My Friend Pedro, and also Layers of Fear 2. Plus, I'm going to play an audio clip of Paris talking about Cyberpunk 2077. The whole controversy once again, because a lot of YouTubers been mentioning his name. A lot of people have been talking about him ever since been posting, and he's been really active on Twitter and social media. So everybody's like, for some reason, they're talking about him. They're showing the video that I recorded. They're showing also like his tweets, all because of this controversy. So I'm going to put out a little audio clip later on about him explaining and his thoughts about the whole controversy overall. So it's going to be really, really cool. So stay tuned for that.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so I'm going to be reviewing Layers of Fear 2 right now because this is from the developers' blooper team. I play the first Layers of Fear. And the way how I discovered that game, I received a Steam machine for review, and I just wanted to discover like new indie games. And that game was available on Steam before it came out on Xbox, PlayStation 4, and Nintendo Switch. But I played it, and I remember it was like during October, close to the Halloween holiday, and I had a blast playing. I was like, man, nobody's talking about this game. Layers of Fear, so sick. So then it came out for the Nintendo Switch. I downloaded it again. You love it. Love it, love it, love it. Great, great game. And then Layers of Fear 2 just got released a couple weeks ago, right before E3. And actually, here's a funny story. So, you know, I was at the Microsoft press conference, and you know, they were showing a lot of the video clips of games that was coming. And one of the games that got my attention during the briefing was Blair Witch. So I got super excited. So I was like investigating, okay, where I could find the developers of this game, because I really need to know more about it. So went around, I couldn't find it, and by mistake, I found their booth during E3. And I started talking to them. And actually, they're the same developers that worked on Layers of Fear 1 and 2. So I'm super, super excited. I'm even more hyped for the game, man. So shout out to them. I got to meet them and I took a picture. You know, we talked a little bit. I couldn't do an interview or anything like that. But hopefully in the future, we'll have them on our show here, man. So. So Layers of Fear 2, for those who never played it, it's not like, you know, previous games like Fear or Resident Evil that you deal with a lot of like monsters and all that. This is more of a psychological thriller type game, first person horror game. So there's a lot of puzzles. Like on this one, on Layers of Fear 2, you're an actor and you're going to be dealing with a mad director. He's basically going to be telling you thinks what to do in the game, where you're going to be at inside this cruise ship. And this deals with a lot of old school movie classics. You're going to hear like the sound of the music, voice, like voices from like movies. There's a lot of puzzles. Sometimes when you walk in different areas, you turn around, the whole place like completely changed. Like you have like, you discover like new path, everything. So I'm not going to lie. I really enjoy the writing of this game compared to one. One was more like an introduction. It was cool. It was really creepy. But for some reason, something about the story for this really got my attention. I really enjoyed playing this from start to almost the last level here, because I'm like almost about to finish the game. Actually, I want to go and finish it by the time I finish recording this. Yeah, you will hear a lot of weird things, man, in the game. I don't want to say much about the story because I really want you to play for the first time, discover some new cool stuff in there, and just enjoy it, you know. So at first, I was wondering, okay, how this game is going to be scarier than the first one. And actually, it was scary, man. There was puzzles there, some new puzzles that wasn't available on the first one that I was like, all right, this is pretty cool, man. They're changing it up here, making it more a little bit more challenging. Because I feel like the first one was super, super easy. And this one is more of, yeah, it's easy, but there's some puzzles is in the game that is going to make you work in order for you to continue to go on with the journey, with the story and everything. So, yeah, the map director is kind of creepy, man. It's very, very creepy. You're by yourself inside of this cruise ship. You're going to hear a lot of creepy voices, man. Music and all, man. And I'm telling you, I got so into it. That's the thing about Blooper Team, that the developers of the game, they're really good at making games like this, you know, horror games. I'm very excited that they're also working on Blair Witch, because, look, I played Layers of Fear 1 and Layers of Fear 2. I'm confident that Blair Witch is going to be up there too with horror games. And right now, a lot of developers are not making great horror games. And Blooper Team has always been a developer that always caught my attention ever since I discovered the first game. So, look, if you're a fan of horror film, horror games, make sure to download Layers of Fear 2. You can find it really, really cheap right now on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. I'm disappointed it's not available on Nintendo Switch right now, because that would have been a good game to play also on the go or when you're home. So hopefully in the future they will release it for the Nintendo Switch. So, all right, so right now we're going to take a short break. And once we come back, we have more games to review, man. My friend Pedro and Gato Roboto. I invited my brother because we both play that game. And I'm going to play it here on Gamer Tag Radio. So stay tuned. Check it out.
You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio.
All right, so brand new episode of Gamer Tag Radio, and it's going to be more laid back, chill. I have my brother Nano. What's up, Nano?
Just hanging out.
What's going on? Just relaxing. We had a couple of drinks. We're watching the World Cup. Well, not the World Cup. Sorry.
Copa America.
Copa America, my bad. Copa America. And yeah, it was good. It was a lot of fun, man. Yeah. But
food and drinks always good time.
Yes, but we're going to be talking about a game developed by Dead Toast. This game is out for the Nintendo Switch and PC. It's called My Friend Pedro. It's
my favorite surprise like title that I knew nothing of until you had brought it up to me. And the game is awesome.
It is really good. But the full name, I call it My Friend Pedro, but the full actual name of the title is My Friend Pedro, Blood, Bullets, and Bananas. People are like saying, why banana?
You learn throughout the game why banana, but
yeah,
it's fun. It's right off the bat, you know, it gives me like nostalgic feelings of like Max Payne,
Contra.
Yeah, it's a little bit of Contra. Yeah, it's all over the place. Like in the beginning, I don't know what to make of it because the game. It feels familiar because it's Metroidvania, but then it's just it's like curveball. The game keeps adapting and changing, and
yes,
it evolves right in front of you. And it the stuff you could do in that game, it's more than what I expected.
Yeah, and this one you unlock a lot of weapons. You also will use like double guns or like auto weapons, stuff like that. But the most important thing is it's not even about the weapons, man. It's also about like the way how you play slow motion, because there's a couple levels that it has puzzles, but it's not like a Metro game type thing. Like this one is more of like, I'll compare this to more of like a Contra, maybe like that.
Yeah, right? And it also grades you based on your level. I mean, your performance throughout the level, the mission.
Have you gotten an S? Because I have.
I haven't. But that's the thing about this game. I keep getting C, and as well. And I'm playing it well. Like I'm getting better at the game, but I'm not getting the great scores that you're getting. You know, the S class.
All right, for the listeners, why you're getting C? Because people might not know. Like, okay, I'm killing enemies. Why? How can I rank higher?
It's all about like you know, it's just when you walk from room to room, like you progress throughout the level, and you see the enemies before you. So you have to kind of think of a strategy before you enter that room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to jump, slow down time, which is called focus in this game. And mm-hmm. you can kind of direct your attacks a little more precisely.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps, you know, get a better score. If you don't take any damage, you kill the enemies quick.
You have to keep on killing enemies. You can't take a break.
There's multipliers for yes. your kills. So the faster you get this done without getting any damage or getting hurt, mm-hmm. you know, the higher score you get. And it's tough, but it's all about strategy in this game. Like, mm-hmm. if you learn the level, the more you play it, you develop a better, you know, attack plan.
You know, people are going to be asking, why my friend Pedro, who's Pedro? Who is this Pedro guy, Pedro character in the game?
Pedro's your little banana friend.
The banana friend that you start. In the beginning of the game, the main character, the one that you control, of course. He wakes up. He doesn't know what's going on. And there's a banana that pops up and tell like, hey, you got to do this. You got to do that. Come follow me. And you just follow.
Let me ask you, would you believe if a banana appeared right in front of you and just started talking?
I would think I would be crazy. I'm like, it's something going on. Like, why is there a banana in front of me talking to me? That's what I was saying.
You wouldn't be afraid of what it could do to you?
Yes. It's weird.
It's floating.
It's very, very weird. Yeah. Yeah. But it's overall music, it's insane.
I think the soundtrack is awesome. It fits the game and the pace that you, mm-hmm. you know, you play the game at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, you have your moments where the game kind of, it slows down a bit, but then it speeds up to a level where all your senses are just
to the roof. Yeah,
going at 100%, you know, yes. And it's the music fits it perfectly.
Yeah, I already completed the first time normal, and now I completed the hardest difficulty, bananas.
I can't get to that point. I haven't.
It took me a couple of days to beat in the hardest difficulty, but the reason why I the replay value is so high is because I'm having a lot of fun with the game, man. It's a lot of fun, man. And the version that we've both awesome. Been playing is the Nintendo Switch version.
Yeah, the other system is PC, correct?
Yes, it's only PC.
So it's a console exclusive?
Yeah, console exclusive for now. Hopefully it'll be released for like Xbox and PlayStation 4.
I think it's a perfect game for the Switch. On the go, it's a fun, fast-paced game to play.
Yes, and a shout out to Devolver Digital for sending me two codes. One for you,
yeah,
one
no,
for me. We started, you know, playing this and 'cause the thing is, this got my attention when I watched the trailer a couple months ago. I'm like, man, this game looks crazy. I want to play it. And I've been uploading videos, clips from my Nintendo Switch. I'm uploading to my social media. And people are like, what game is this? And I'm like, I'm telling you, my friend Pedro, check it out. It's really cool. To me, it reminds me a lot of the old school Contra, Metal Slug, like that type of gaming mechanics from that time, But of course, adding in some Matrix style in there with the slow motion, and all, it's super
yeah, like being able to slow down time is it's one of the best qualities of this game.
The boss battles. Let's talk about that. How was your boss battles experience like for you?
It was frustrating because I couldn't pass it for the first couple of rounds until I learned, you know, the everything has a rhythm, you know? So
yeah.
You find out the best game plan you can use and you get better as you play this game.
Mm-hmm.
But they were awesome, you know? Like, it was such a like shock to the system, you know? Like, it kind of, the game changes to like an extreme in those moments.
So the first boss battle was the motorcycle level,
which was awesome. Like, but that's the thing. I haven't gotten as far as you, as far as story.
Yeah.
So there's so much more for me to experience.
Yes.
There's weapons that I haven't unlocked yet, you know? And mm-hmm. I haven't played because of the Tetris.
My nephew, your son, he's way ahead.
Yeah. And my son plays on the Switch and his account is way further than mine. And I can't like look too into it because he's already telling me the end of the game.
Oh my God. No, no. Story. But see, I have to say that level was one of my favorite levels. That's another one. I don't want to like spoil it, but this one level actually from the first boss battle, the music is so intense. It gets you nervous, man. Like, you know what's going to happen. And then when the boss pops up, you'd be freaking out, man. Like, holy crap. But that's the thing that I love. Like, gaming, to me, it can't just be just like good music and it's like a crappy gameplay mechanics, you know. But if there's a combination of like, it doesn't have to be graphically amazing. But if it's something like visually looks good, music and control-wise, it's on point. It gets me like really into the game. I'll get nervous, all that, the combination, all that. It's freaking
yeah. You want
awesome,
a game
man.
To like that, you know? It attributes to multiple senses. Like you mm-hmm. want it to be visually appealing,
mm-hmm.
graphically, you know, technical, but like fun and immersive in its controls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the music's always you'd want it to sound good, and this game covers all of it.
Yeah,
and I think what's the price point for this?
$20.
$20.
That's not bad. Let me tell you.
Amazing. I would have purchased this game regardless, you know, like just off mm-hmm. of the footage that I've seen, it lives up to what you play. You know, it's even more fun playing the game. Like you get to do all this and try and beat your score every time you play the game.
Yeah.
Try and beat your friend's scores.
Yeah. But you know what? For highly recommended for me. Go check it out. If you have a Nintendo Switch or even PC owners, we have a lot of listeners that play PC. Check it out. My Friend Pedro. Even go on YouTube and search for My Friend Pedro. You guys are going to love it. It's freaking amazing. Really good. Not any final words about
it. Highly. It's $20. You can't beat that deal. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a good game. It's awesome.
Another game I want to talk to you about because I haven't completed it, but I got far. Gato Roboto.
I beat the game, but I haven't gotten the 100% yet.
No, that's fine. Okay, yeah. Who cares? Does it have to be 100%? Jesus.
I'm just saying it's frustrating because I thought I was there.
So this game, the version I got was the Nintendo Switch. You also got the Nintendo Switch version.
Mm-hmm.
How was your for the people that know about Gato Roboto? What do you say about it?
It's fun. You know, I think it's a short title.
Yes,
but I you know what? If I had to compare, I'd say, you know, if you're thinking between My Friend Pedro and Gato, you might want to go with My Friend because this offers a different
style
aesthetic.
Of gaming.
Yeah, it's
think of it as like a Metroidvania game.
Yeah, my Gato, like my Gato. I'm sorry about that. Gato Roboto. Yeah. Maybe I want to cat people. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm missing a friend in my life. It's cool, but it's just I think it's too short of a game. It's okay. It takes me back to like old Game Boy, you know, handheld games.
Yeah, this is a black and white game.
Yeah, it's
Game Boy Color.
Yeah, imagine Game Boy, not Game Boy. Well, you could say Game Boy Color because in the game you're allowed to change your like your color scheme and your palette.
Oh, that's fine. So it still reminds me of the Game Boy though.
Yeah, but,
yeah,
it's
cool. Yeah.
But man, I'm disappointed that I can't get that 100%. I'm probably pretty salty that the game's so difficult.
What is it that
I'm missing? Secret rooms. I don't know where they're. Like I've explored the whole map.
So people are gonna be asking, okay, what the hell is Gato Roboto? It's about a cat. So his owner gets stuck in a ship. I think they were traveling somewhere.
The spaceship crash lands.
Yes, it crashes. And then he's stuck.
And it's a laboratory, yeah.
So he's like, all right. I forgot the name of the Gato, but he would be like, okay, can you go?
I think he just calls him Kitty the whole time.
Yeah, can you go and search for whatever? And you're there just like as a cat. You're playing as a cat. So you're traveling around that world.
You built a robot suit for your cat. Yes. So you're just a kitty cyborg, or you're controlling a mech, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very reminiscent of Mega Man.
Metroid?
Yeah, big time.
Castlevania a little bit? Castlevania
yes,
games.
Because of the map and the little like mini dungeons you get into and stuff. Like those boss battles are fun, but it's just the game's difficult, man. It's frustrating.
Because so it's short but challenging.
It's challenging. Yeah, I agree that it's very challenging for the 100%. Like, I'm not looking online for anything, so I'm just trying to do it by myself, and it's proven to be difficult.
What was it that got your attention the most about this game?
After
beating it completely already. Forget about the 100%. You complete a game. You know, I haven't completed it yet, but that's what I'm asking.
I think it's fun to look for. I'm more upset that it ended so fast because I loved like the encounters with the enemy that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the story was progressing, like, they could have kind of pushed it to more dungeons, you know, and like made the map a little bit larger, but it's fun and it makes you want more.
Yeah, because I checked out the map. There were certain maps that I was like, man, this seems a little bit small.
Mm-hmm.
At first I wasn't thinking about it, but now I'm like, yeah, you know what? The map is kind of small.
You explore too quickly in that
game. Just the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like those dungeons that you get into, like, I wish they would have been a little bit bigger and the game would have been awesome, you know, because like it's fun and it makes you want to search more. But again, I haven't searched the entire... I thought I did. I thought I explored the whole map, but I'm missing parts of it.
So there is missing levels, like hidden levels that you probably...
I haven't seen.
That's not in the map.
No, because like you have the option while you're playing the game, in the cat suit, you could jump out of the suit itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because the suit can't go in water.
No. So the cat can swim.
So that's awesome. You know, I love playing as a little kitty. He can climb walls.
But there's some negatives on that people don't know. You get hit once, your cat dies.
Yeah, and you can't attack either.
You can't attack either, yeah.
You can't attack, but you could swim. You could run up walls. You're really quick. You're a kitty.
Yeah, yeah.
All pluses.
Yeah.
And no, it requires a lot of puzzles and stuff where you have to jump out of the cat suit itself,
mm-hmm.
swim with the cat, play with the cat to unlock a secret passage or a elevator you have to use. And it's just, I wish it was more than that game. It's so short.
This is what happened. So I got a cold from Devour Digital. Start playing
I saw
it.
Yeah, I saw you playing it.
And I'm like, this game is dope. And then, yeah, you got hooked. You got hooked right away.
But we have the same like play style in those old school games. You know, like we like the same thing. So like I knew if you were enjoying it, then I was going to enjoy it. And I didn't regret it at all. I wish there was more story to that game,
mm-hmm.
because I felt like I was kind of left hanging. You know, like the cat at that point was like a funny character.
Oh, he is. And there's a mouse that pops up a lot that you're going to be battling out a lot during the game.
The natural enemy of the feline species.
Yes, yes, man. I gotta say much, but
The mouse is funny too. It's a cool story they have there, and it's funny and fun.
Did the kids got into it too, or when you were playing, or you were playing by yourself?
Man, they tried, but it's pretty difficult for them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they get bored really quickly. You know, there's a lot of exploring in that game.
Yeah, yeah. It's that type of style because that's what we used to play back in the days.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of Metroidvania. It gives me a little like that Mega Man and Contra feel to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I want more.
Yeah.
I hope there's another one. Like I hope Gato Roboto like does well enough where they make a second game.
Definitely, man. All right, Nano, thanks, man. I just wanted to talk about those two games. That was a lot of fun. Both games are great. Highly recommend it. My friend Pedro and Gato Roboto.
If you didn't have them, this would be great games to recommend on your flight.
Hell yeah. This is perfect for the flight. Yeah, definitely. All right, thanks a lot, man.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here. And once again, thanks to my brother and Devolver Digital, everybody that have been sending us review codes for us to review it here in the podcast. And now we're going to play the audio clip with Paris about the Cyberpunk 2077 controversy. Stay tuned.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
surprise, I'm doing another one. I had absolutely no intention of hopping on the stream today. This is Saturday morning. What is today? June 22nd, 2019. I'm actually about to go on vacation with my family. I have a few hours before we leave. And I was like, you know what? There's been a lot going on this week, obviously with Cyberpunk 2077. And my name got thrown into the mix as well. So I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm going to continue this conversation. Probably last time I'll ever address this directly, other than to talk about the game and the excitement beyond it. But I wanted to hop on and kind of just talk about some of the drama that's been going on here in the quote unquote Cyberpunk 2077 community over the past week. Obviously, you guys have seen obviously the reaction videos and everything from when I was at E3. All that stuff was great. But since then, there's been some issues, and I touched on it lightly in the last video I did, and I know I touched on it just a little bit when we did Gamertag Radio earlier this week, but I've definitely gotten a lot more attention about this because Rock, Paper, Shotgun, I kept calling them Rock, Paper, Scissors on the podcast, but Rock, Paper, Shotgun, a couple things happened. One happened during E3, one happened after. So during E3, one of the writers over there at RPS got a chance to see the same demo I did, and he wrote up an article about it, and he addressed some issues. He obviously thought there were potentially some racial undertones, obviously the name of the animals, Voodoo Boys, just the way the dialect was going, things like that. And he, even the gameplay, wasn't completely impressed with. And he basically walked out, not underwhelmed, but concerned about some things. This article obviously garnered a lot of attention, and then it kind of culminated where the founder of RPS decided to hop on Twitter a few days ago and basically double down on everything. And let me backtrack just one second. So after the original RPS article, Mike Pondsmith came out, addressed everything in the article, basically was like, look, I created this. Here's why the Voodoo Boys are the way they are. Here's why the animals are the way they are. By the way, all the animals aren't African-American or people of color. There's different races in the animals. And matter of fact, their leader is a white woman and she calls her name Sasquatch, things like that. Right. So, and obviously there was the whole backlash with the gender stuff that was going on because we had the poster where basically a transgender person was in the poster and they had an erect penis, for lack of a better term. And people decided to get outraged by that as well. That got addressed. It was like, look, in the near future world of Cyberpunk that Mr. Pondsmith created, you know, people augment their bodies and express them ways and you know, and all different types. So does it really matter? Who cares? That's kind of how I feel about it. Right. So all that happened. So then Mr. Pondsmith, like I said, came out, addressed all this stuff. It was basically like, my world, my creation. This is what it is. And oh, by the way, don't tell me what to be outraged about, him also being an African-American and a person of color. So like I said, to now flash forward, the founder of RPS then decided to go on Twitter, basically double down on that article and get on his magical unicorn and white knight to save the day and tell us that we should be outraged by this. I saw that. And then obviously the people in the Twitter comments jumped on me immediately for it. But I saw it and I was like, you know what? I'm going to say something too. So I hopped on Twitter and I was like, look, man, I don't need you to come save the day for me. How are you? He was saying the people are imaginary, all this nonsense he was saying. And he deleted the tweet, by the way. But I basically hopped on. It's like, look, number one, Mike Pondsmith isn't imaginary. And I know he wasn't saying literally Mike Pondsmith was imaginary. He was alluding to imaginary, the creation of the imaginary characters and their racial undertones or whatever the case may be. But I hopped on Twitter and I was like, you know what? Mike Pondsmith isn't imaginary. He is an African-American who, sorry, I'm trying to put my coffee down. He is not an imaginary character. He is an African-American who actually created this world and characters of Cyberpunk. So who are you to tell him or myself what to be outraged about? And basically, I just took the whole thing as, you know, this is just clickbait outrage. You're just trying to garner attention towards your site and the actual article. And I did misspeak in the tweet because I just assumed he was the one that wrote the article and it was not him. He's just the founder of RPS. So that happened. Young Ye, he's a YouTuber who I did meet at E3. He actually took my tweet and he posted it in one of his YouTube videos, kind of went around, had a lot of people hitting me up on Twitter, stuff like that. And then I know Legacy Killer HD also did the same thing. And I think a couple other people did as well. But the point is, during the week, there was a lot of attention that came my way because of what I said, you know, towards Mr. Walker, I believe that's his last name, over at RPS. And I then saw he deleted the tweet. So I responded to him. I was like, oh, funny enough, you deleted the tweet. I wonder why. And I know he apologized to Mr. Pondsmith, but it was such an insincere apology. He was not genuine at all. The only reason he deleted the tweet was because of the backlash that he was getting. And the whole point of it is this, which also he got very sarcastic with me on Twitter. It was funny. All of a sudden he wanted to engage with me on Twitter and, you know, try to be very sarcastic with me and say some nasty words. And I just basically was like, look, man, lay in your own bed. You're welcome. And then he deleted those tweets as well. So just again, goes to show you, this guy, you know, sits on his freaking high horse, you know, on his throne and feels like as a white person who lives in the UK, he can tell my black ass how I'm supposed to feel or how I'm supposed to be outraged by something that honestly was not an issue in the first place. So you know there. But the old point I'm making on this is, you know, we have to stop with this white knighting stuff. Mike Pondsmith created this world. And the point I'm making on this, because I know I actually got some people that hit back on me because of what I said on Twitter, and some people of color, you know, some African Americans, some good friends of mine actually pointed this out too. Was a rock, paper, shotgun not allowed to make that article? Absolutely they were. They should have. I'm not denying that at all. They absolutely should have put that article out because by putting that article out, there was bringing attention to something that they were not completely 100% sure of. I get that. You know what I mean? Maybe that person that saw it was not aware of the lore in the world of cyberpunk. So he's seeing the name Animals or the Voodoo Boys and the Creole accent, things like that. And it gave him pause. I get it. But here's the thing. The second that Mike Pondsmith came out and clarified all of this, and it doesn't even matter that he's African-American. He could have been freaking Chinese and created cyberpunk, right? But the second that he came out and said, no, it's my world. Here's why I made these characters this way. Back down. You don't have to take the article off. You don't even have to update the article and put a note in it. You could have left it as is and just walked away from it. But the second that the founder of RPS doubled down on this, that's what upset me. Because it's like, now you're trying to tell the creator of something, how he's supposed to think and what he's supposed to write or create this world. It's like, come on, really? Did you even do your homework on the world of cyberpunk to understand what it is? And I'm not saying I'm an expert on cyberpunk. Hell, I'm learning as it is right now because I'm that interested in this world now. But the point is, you know, who are you to sit there on your high horse and dictate how things should be or what we should be outraged? And then look, again, 45-year-old African-American from the South. You know, I've dealt with racism on so many different levels, damn near every day of my life. It's just a fact of life. I'll just tell you straight up. As a kid, I used to walk home from school and I would have people drop the N-word as me as I would walk home. But you know what? Instead of engaging in that, you ignore it and you just go home and do your thing. So it's like, I know what racism looks like. I know what to be outraged about, right? So I don't need some freaking UK writer telling me that I should be outraged about a faction in a video game being named Animals when, hey, you know, I hit the gym, I do my thing. We call ourselves animals and beasts all the time. Black, white, doesn't matter. You know what I mean? And that was the point of that. The Voodoo Boys, yeah, they're Haitian. They speak Creole. Voodoo obviously is a big lore thing in the Haitian community. Of course they're going to be called that. It's just nonsense. And then when you go into obviously the transphobia stuff, you know, with the transgender poster that they had as well. Why was that even an outrage? It's like we're smart enough at this point to understand what is what is fiction and what is reality. You know, this cyberpunk world is telling us a story. It's giving us this world that we'll be able to go in and participate in versus dealing with all the nonsense that we have to deal with in our real lives with, you know, homophobia, racism, you know, sexism, all these things that we deal with in our real life. Now we're trying to transpose that and put it into a video game as well. And we got to be outraged about that as well. And we got to have picket signs and do all that stuff. So honestly, it really bugged me that this is where we are in the gaming culture right now, that we can't even have game journalists just simply write about a game that they're seeing or that they're playing and their experiences playing it. They have to make everything political. They have to make everything an outrage. And it's like, why are we doing this? We don't need to do this. You know, we have enough problems in the real world. Let's not put that into video games as well. So I don't know. I just, like I said, I just kind of wanted to get on here and just address it directly from my point of view, since obviously some of my quotes were being used. And yes, I am the quote unquote cyberpunk guy. I am the guy that a year ago, you know, had the video that went viral that was super excited about the game. I'm the guy that, you know, a couple weeks ago, obviously was at E3, had the video that went viral again because I was super excited about the game. Yes, I am truly and genuinely excited about this game. I cannot wait to get my hands on it directly. But here's the thing, and I would hope that people that have seen my content in the past know this. I can love something to death and scream it to the rooftops. But the second that thing I love does something I don't like, I'm going to be just as critical as well. So let's not get it twisted in the fact that I'm just going to have this blind loyalty towards Cyberpunk 2077 and CD Projekt Red. It just so happens the last game they did turned out to be, in my opinion, the best game of this generation. And this one is shaping up to follow in its footsteps and maybe even surpass it. So, yes, I have that excitement and I want that excitement about it. Why should I be negative about it right now? I don't want to be negative about the game. I want to be excited about it. I want to invest in this world. I want to enjoy it. But, you know, again, if you guys know me with Destiny, I love Destiny. Hell, I've been playing Destiny since day one in 2014. But you know what? There's a lot of stuff that Destiny has done over the years that I don't like. And I'm very quick to point those things out on a podcast, on a video, Twitter, whatever the case may be. And the same thing will go with Cyberpunk. So I hope people understand that I can be balanced when it comes to that. You know what I mean? But I just want to be enthusiastic about something. I mean, like I said, we got enough problems in the world. I don't have to look for the bad in everything. And will Cyberpunk be a perfect game? Nope, it won't. Will Cyberpunk do things in the story, in the world that will be controversial? I 100% guarantee it will. You know, that's just a fact because CD Projekt Red does not shy away from those things. This will be a mature game. This will be a game that will broach subjects that will make people uncomfortable. It just will. But you know what? I'm old enough and mature enough to handle that. You know what I mean? I don't need a third party telling me that I need to be outraged by something. I can make that up for myself. And I think that's the whole point that I'm trying to make here is, you know, you as the gamer, as the viewer or whatever, make up your own damn mind. Don't let someone tell you, no matter what race, creed, or sexuality you may be, what you should be offended by, or what you should be upset by. And again, to put it on the inverse, you don't have to like the fact that Mike Pondsmith called a faction in his world the Animals or the Voodoo Boys, or that he has a transgender character in his world. Because look, I guarantee you that ain't going to be the only transgender character. There's going to be a ton of different, you know, lesbian and gay characters and transgender characters in that world. There's going to be people of color in that game doing nefarious things. They're not all going to be the hero. You know what I mean? Not to mention, let's remember, you get to create your character. Your V will look however the hell you want your V to be. If you want your V to be this generic white dude, it'll be a generic white dude. You want to be a generic black dude, it'll be a generic black dude. If you want to be a transgender Asian person, it can be that too. Whatever you want. Like I said before, mine will be black. It will be female with a big, giant Angela Davis afro because that's what I want to do. But that's up to you. The whole point of this is be your own individual. Be yourself. Don't let someone sit up there in their ivory tower and look down on you and tell you how you should feel or what you should think or what you should be outraged about. I think, honestly, the whole thing with rock, paper, shotgun is bullshit. I think that guy is an arrogant prick. I'm just going to be honest about it. And I'm glad he is catching the heat that he is getting, because he was not sincere in his apology. And the fact that he would double down on something from what his writers would say shows the pompous attitude that he has. So they're getting everything they deserve right now. And it's just how I feel. You know, I don't expect everyone to agree with me on saying that, but it's just how I feel. And I just think here in 2019, we shouldn't be taking these kind of stances anymore. You know, let the article speak for itself. Let the creator respond, which he did, and then move on. You don't need to keep digging for this controversy to kind of drive people to your website, or, you know, to drum up a bunch of nonsense on social media and have like 300 YouTube videos created about it because everyone's going after you. Just do your job. Be a journalist. Be a journalist. Find the real stories. Report on the stories instead of trying to create a story, which is what I really think this whole Cyberpunk 2077 thing has been. This has been media outlets trying to create a story versus just reporting on it. So I think that's all I got. Like I said, I'm going to go on vacation here. I just wanted to jump on really quick and just kind of give my two cents on everything. That way, you know, for the record, people know 100% how I feel about it. Gamertag Radio, Danny will have something up mid next week. Obviously, you guys know that Pete is leaving. He's taking a job over in Europe. You know, Godspeed to him. Very happy and proud for him. We'll continue to put out content. And I hope you guys are enjoying this format that I'm doing right now, because I definitely want to do more of these where I kind of come on, I'll hop on stream, do it live, do my rant for 20, 30 minutes, whatever you want to call it. I actually put it on YouTube as well. So there's the recorded video format, and then we'll extract the audio and we'll turn it into a podcast too. So again, I hope you guys enjoy this. I really appreciate it. Until next time, this is Paris, Gamertag Radio. Thank you guys for checking this out, and we'll see you soon.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here on Gamertag Radio. Thank you for listening. Make sure to send us your feedback. Until next time, we're out. We'll see you soon. We'll be right back sometime next week. Brand new episode of Gamertag Radio. Stay tuned. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.